Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Better knowledge means better health for you and your family. Turn to Northwestern Medicine at nm.org/healthbeatnews for health tips, research, and more. And good morning to you, Dr. Kevin Most.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. Boy, big news. You know, I said we had an announcement about the show later. There's actually two announcements. I'm going to make another one right now. Huh. I believe I concluded negotiations with his agent. And I believe Jerry Most will be reporting on the Blackhawks, his favorite team, each month throughout the hockey season, this upcoming hockey season. And Jerry Most is who to you, Doc?
That's my 7-year-old nephew.
Mm-hmm. Seven years old, knows more about the Hawks than you and I ever have.
Oh, yeah. That had to be some great negotiation.
It was tough. I was talking to his dad, David Most, and I said, can you bring him down before school? And he said, yeah, that'd be cool. So I felt like we really went to the wire on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, you know, he's a great little kid, and he doesn't like chocolate, so you can't pay him in chocolate.
Whoa. Can't bring him donuts? Donuts? No?
He's kind of particular about what he eats. So
what does he like?
That's a great hot dogs with nothing on them.
Oh, like a plain hot dog?
Yeah. Yeah. Pizza with pepperoni.
Is that in the budget?
We'll get a hot dog cart up here for Jerry.
That's the way I rolled when I was a kid. Plain hot dogs.
Nothing on it.
Plain hamburger. Uh-huh. Yeah, peanut butter and jelly every once in a while.
I know a kid who lived on pizza till he was like 15. That's all he would eat.
Well, enough crazy about me. And Connor Gibbs. How old's Connor?
He's, the same age. Mm-hmm.
No, he's a little older, isn't he?
Connor? He's right around there.
Mm-hmm. You have no idea, do you?
Nope.
Connor Gibbs is our Bulls expert. So we feel like we're really developing, you know, a fine group of experts, as I said, experts. So Jerry Most will be our hockey guy.
Yep. That'll be fun.
That's going to be great. All right. So speaking of kids, lots of stress on kids now. Is there really more stress than ever on kids, or does every generation say that?
No. I think there's definitely more stress on kids these days than in the past. I mean, you know, for guys our age, just think about it. You know, when you went to go to a baseball game, you got on your bike. You know, you didn't get on a plane to go play, you know, in a tournament somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
In high school, you know, we were more concerned about the football games on the weekend, and we tried to make as good a grades as we can. But, you know, now the push for AP classes and being in the top 10 of your class is very stressful for kids. And social media is not helping us at all either. You know, a lot of cyberbullying and a lot of exposure to things that we never would have considered, we never even thought of. So the stress levels for kids is alarmingly high, and it's showing up now in physical and mental problems.
What type of stuff are you seeing physically?
Well, you're starting to see the depression rates are going through the roof. Depression, anxiety, and suicide are going through the roof in this age group, which is very unfortunate. You know, the number one cause of death in this age group is an unintentional injury, so car accidents and things like that. The number two, though, and rapidly getting closer to number one, is suicide rates.
It's unbelievable.
It is. It's more than unbelievable. It should be alarming to all of us, and it's something that we really need to address here quickly.
So let's jump to, what parents can do to eliminate some of the stress before we get some more anecdotes in here.
Yeah, you know, really, if you start to look at it, prevention of this and identification is probably the most important part, because we know the earlier that we see most diseases and treat them earlier, the better outcomes we have. You know, and some of them are just simple. You know, spend more time with kids and get them into a comfortable place and try to get their social media away from them while you're in that comfortable place. One of the other big things is, think about it now, Steve. When you were 12, 13, did you print out your Outlook schedule to see what your day looked like?
No, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, these kids, their days are packed. So review their schedule. Make sure they have some downtime. You know, you need downtime.
Yeah, and how about this? No cell phones in the car.
Yeah.
You're not getting anywhere without going in the car, so you're going to talk to mom and dad, or you're going to talk to each other. No cell phones in the car.
Another thing, and this goes through the entire school year, is make mornings calmer. Everybody, if you think about mornings, they're always like, oh my gosh, we're running late, let's do this, grab this, let's go. You know, we need to set our alarms a little bit earlier. That sets the tone for the day, So if you can start with a calmer morning, it has a good chance of helping the kids.
So this does fall on parents, right? It falls on parents to change the way they do things. When you talk about calmer mornings, that means you got to get up a little bit earlier. And I talked about no cell phones in the car. That means you got to stay off your cell phone. Yeah. Set an example.
Absolutely. And setting the example is probably the biggest thing. We control, as adults, we control a lot of what happens with our children. You know, children, kids are not, you know, cooking and making food. You know, they're going to, given the option, they're going to go to fast food and that. So make sure that you provide a good meal for them. Make sure that they're getting enough sleep. Manage your own stress so that you don't, you know, if you're stressed and you shoot off, that looks, the kid looks at that and says, oh, that's okay. That's how we act.
Your parents should get off the phones in the morning, too, because already a lot of parents are playing, like, games on their phones and looking at Facebook, and they're on everything. And, yeah, you know, I've seen it.
I couldn't agree with you more, Mayor. You know, and kids look at that and they say, well, if it's okay for him, it's okay for me, and I'm going to take it and take it up a step and use it even more.
And I will tell you this, Doc, you know this. I will tell you this, that it goes by in an instant. And Mary Vandeveld, you'll say the same thing, so will Dave. You know, one minute you're driving your kids around, next minute they're going, yeah, no, I'm good. I can't come see you this weekend, and it's cats in the cradle time. So you're missing an opportunity to enjoy it. Everybody needs a break. Parents need a break. Parents need a break as well. But the break doesn't have to be while you're with your kids playing Fortnite or whatever you're playing on your phone or whatever. I've said this for years, Doc, 15 minutes a day per kid. It sounds like way too little. But if you really are truthful with yourself, and if you ask yourself, am I spending 15 minutes a day one-on-one with each of my kids? The answer is probably no. Just 15 minutes, because in that 15 minutes lockdown, no interruptions, you're going to be able to find out who their friends are. You're going to be able to find out how they're feeling about things. And it's more shut up and listen than talk and dictate. And I promise you, if you do that, it's going to change your relationship with your kids.
Yeah, or eat dinner together. That's another thing.
With no cell phones.
That's where I got most of my information.
Yeah, no cell phones.
Dinner, always. Yeah.
Well, if you saw the Tribune yesterday, you know, we talked about this last week. Front page of the Tribune, all school, no work, may be the teen's new norm. Front page of the Tribune. And then you go to the Perspectives, deleting the suicide scenes won't ease the danger of the series posts, where they talk about the Netflix series 13 Reasons Why. So, you know, unusual that we're talking about this, but it just blew me away when I read the paper yesterday. Here's two things that we're talking about that are, you know, Sunday paper this week.
I stepped on you. You were talking about sleep. Why is that so important?
Well, we know that sleep is really important. Two things with sleep. One is it's going to give parents an idea, or at least as one of the triggers you can look for it. Is your child sleeping excessively, or is your child having a bad sleeping pattern where they won't sleep at all? Both of those are triggers for anxiety as well as depression. But we know how important sleep is. And think about it, Mary, your kids, you know, when they were teenagers, it's up till 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, some teenagers are going to do that occasionally. But a good night's sleep, we know, is what the body needs for not only physical health, but mental health.
Do we know how long a kid should sleep?
No, you know, and that's a great idea. It's a great question, because some are going to say, well, my kid can sleep for 14 hours. Do they need to sleep for 14 hours? Probably not. But are they getting a restful sleep? Or is that child on their phone all the way up until midnight, and that's why they're sleeping until 2 in the afternoon? Downtime away from the phones and social media prior to going to sleep is key.
Yeah, and again, you make the rules. Your child lives in your house until they're 18 or 21, and then maybe they're back for a while. But you make the rules. You're not your kid's best friend. You're your kid's parent. And obviously, being their friend is vitally important. But nobody's going to love them as much as you do. You got to advocate for them by not being afraid to set rules and to stick by the rules.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, your child has a great potential when they're young, and if they lose out on that potential because of some of the things that we allow them to do or don't allow them to do, you know, we're setting ourselves up for failure as well.
What about diet?
Diet's so key. You know, if you think about it, and no different from when we were growing up, you know, we'd rather have burgers and tacos, but we know the importance right now of vitamins and a healthy diet. Two things. It sets a tone for how that child's going to eat the rest of their life. We have a problem with obesity in this country, and also with heart disease. So not only does it help us from a stress point of view and anxiety point of view by eating a good balanced diet, but it sets a tone for the rest of our life for longer long-term medical problems that we're seeing exploding across this country.
Now, there's a couple cool things going on in Oregon and Florida, of all places. Doc will tell us about those in a second. Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Doc also takes care of making sure things are operating at the highest of all levels at Marion Joyce. I want to say hi to everybody over there as well this morning.
Yeah, thanks for that. Good people there.
All right, so what are they doing in Oregon to help alleviate stress or deal with this stress problem in kids?
Yeah, Oregon unfortunately has a suicide rate that's 40% higher than the national average. And I think that they took a step back and they say, we're not identifying this issue early enough. We're not allowing kids to step up and tell us about their problems. So what they did now is they put in mental health days, just as you would someone with physical health days. So they're going to be able to take 5 days off every 3-month period for emotional health issues. What they're hoping for is if these children or if these teens use these days, now that's going to be a trigger to say, okay, they're taking a mental health day. What is going on here? What can we do? How can we help this? Can we identify a problem and can we start to treat it? So this is one where the teachers are applauding it because they see this mental health issue in their classrooms and the students have nowhere to turn. So at least it's going to give them an opportunity to hopefully step up.
Now the obvious cynic would say, well, the kids are just going to exploit it and take 5 days off.
Yep, they will. And that's exactly what people are saying. And I'll just, you know, rebut and say, if we can decrease suicides by 10 kids in Oregon, 20 kids in Oregon, is that going to be enough reason to do this?
Well, of course.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out across the country. Utah already has it in place, but I think that you'll probably end up seeing lives being saved because we've identified issues earlier that we never would have identified because the child who just suffered through it.
What about Florida?
Yeah, Florida's taking a little bit of a different turn on it. Florida's saying, okay, you know what? We need to get rid of the stigma of mental health, and we are going to pay mandatory mental health education from 6th grade to 12th grade.
Great.
So they are going to openly start to talk about depression, talk about suicide in an educational way to help kids identify the signs and symptoms they may see in themselves or they may see in their friends and give them all the opportunities to say, if you see this, these are what you can do. Here's the services that can be offered. Things that we don't talk about until it's too late when we're talking about a bad outcome, and now we're trying to take care of the kids who survived a bad outcome.
So, in Illinois, is there anything we ought to be patting ourselves on the back for when it comes to this, or are we nothing in particular?
Yeah, not really. You know, Illinois is probably a little bit behind. I think we have enough financial constraints and the educational constraints that we're not looking this way. I think you're starting to see some more states be more progressive about mental health. And it's probably time that we did step up and said, okay, we're going to start doing some of these unique things to protect our kids.
Yeah, I mean, our people are smarter. Our people are better. Our people need to figure it out.
Yep.
All right. Well, great job by you as always, Doc. Give us a takeaway here. We'll invite people in the meantime, when we put up the podcast here in a few minutes, to go to the notes, the incredible notes you put up every week on this segment, and look them over yourself. It's a great thing to have, great thing to read over, especially if you're on the way to work now and you go, man, okay, I want to hear this later, but I also want to be able to see what you're talking about. They're right there for you. So what's a good takeaway out of what we've been talking about?
Well, you know, I mean, take a, like you said, 15 minutes with your kid. Take the time to understand what your child's going through and don't put additional stress on them. You know, we as adults are putting more stress on kids and then not treating the kids properly. And then we're wondering why anxiety and suicide rates are up. Let kids be kids again. Let's let them hang out some time. Let's have them have some downtime instead of, okay, you got to go to lacrosse practice now, and then we got to get you in the car and get you here, and then you got to go see, you know. I think we need to get more of an unstructured life back, like, I hate to say it, but like the good old days.
Well, the thing is, yeah, you know, parents feel pressure to keep up with other parents. Hey, why is my friend doing this? How come I'm not doing this? How come you didn't sign me up for this? But you and I both know parents as well who are signing kids up and telling them, oh, yeah, I signed you up for this, so now you're going to do this. And you're just gone all summer. There's no summer. You're just going somewhere every day, 5 days a week, 7 days a week. You know, talk to your kid about what they want to do. You know, okay, if there's something that's good for them that they don't want to do and you know it's good for them and it's a family thing or whatever, then, yeah, make that decision. But don't just put kids in stuff because every other kid is in stuff.
And From an educational point of view, encourage your kids. Don't be disappointed when they get a B just because the neighbor got an A. You know, that's probably one of the other big things.
Yeah,
we're pushing kids educationally so hard these days that they're not having time to do other things.
And you almost want to say, stop posting everything so great on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
because then it makes other people feel so bad if their kid is not excelling in swimming or doing this and that. And, you know, oh, look at so-and-so win a gold medal. You know, it's just so much.
Hey, speaking about
pressure.
Feeling bad about your own kid, tomorrow, Kid of the Week, we'll do
that
again.
Yeah, it's another thing. It puts the stress and anxiety and all the fair way to go, Steve.
But I'm part of the problem.
But Steve, you take the people on the extreme. Mary's talking about every day. I mean, these are the kids in the neighborhood, and it does. That drags down kids if somebody does something better and they're highlighted and the parent says, oh, Tim did such a great job. Well, Tim's the next door neighbor. How about talking about you, your child, and what you can do to support them?
Great stuff as always, Dr. Kevin Most. Better knowledge means better health for you and your family. Turn to Northwestern Medicine at nm.org/healthbeatnews for health tips, research, and more. Or just call Doc at home. Thank you, buddy.
You got it. Take care, you guys.
That's Dr. Kevin Most.